Let's take our Bibles now, if you will, and join me as we turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We've been preaching a series of messages on heaven, and this is in that very same category. Today I want to talk to you about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The millennial reign on this earth of Christ and those that are His. Revelation chapter 20, if you do not have a Bible with you, there's some right in front of you in the pew racks. Feel free to use one of those. If you need a Bible, take it. That'll be fine. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, beginning with verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil." What a great day that'll be, amen. "And Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed, the devil, a little season." We'll talk about why in a little bit. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." Some of that's going on in the world right now. "And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Now, we use the term millennium, and let me describe for you what that means. It comes from two Latin words. One of those is the Latin word milli, and it means 1,000. And then annum, which means years. So you have the millennium, a time of 1,000 years when we refer to the millennium. In these verses that I read to you, you'll discover that six different times in these verses, six times, the word or the 1,000 years is mentioned in these seven verses. So here's a question we start out with. When will this take place? When will this 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ on the earth actually literally take place? And you say, well, it's not really important, but it is important because what we believe about the millennial reign of Christ affects a lot of other of the doctrinal positions that we have and a lot of the other things in our life because of that. We need to be right and should be right on the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we go back into church history has three different views about the millennium or the 1,000-year rule of Christ. The first view that is a very popular view today, especially by evangelicals and some that are neo-evangelicals, is post-millennialism. Post-millennialism. What does that mean? It means that the second coming of Christ will take place after the millennial reign or 1,000 years of good times on the face of the earth. And so those people take the teaching of the Bible about the yeast affecting the bread, and they say the good is going to affect it, and that the church is doing better and better and better and better. Things are getting better and better and better. My friend, if you think things are getting better and better and better, I have some property in Florida underwater that I'd like to sell you for about $20,000 an acre. All right? Things are not getting better and better. But they're teaching that things are going to get so good, and that's one reason they get out of focus with what the gospel is and get over here into the social realm, and they're doing so much social stuff and very little preaching of the gospel because they're trying to help everybody get a piece of the pie, usher in the kingdom. Things are going to get so good that Jesus will look down and say, wow, they've worked it out. I believe I go down there and sit on my throne now. And that's not going to happen. That's post-millennialism. And so we have that position. And then another one is amillennialism. You say, how can you recognize an amillennialist? Well, you walk up to them and you say, what do you believe about the millennium? And they say, and then you go, So they're the amillennialist. They don't have a clue. But they are stating that we are right now living in the millennium. Well, if this is it, I certainly am disappointed. They say there is no real millennium. It's happening now. This is the church age. This is equivalent to the millennium. And so they choose an allegorical interpretation of the millennium. So you have the post-millennialists who believe Christ will come back when things get better. You have the amillennialists that are dumber than a box of rocks. And then you have the premillennialists, and that's what we are. That is my position. And that is the official position of this church. There may be some members of this church who hadn't gotten their eyes open yet, and they will someday, and they will take this position. But the position of this pastor in this church is premillennialism. That is the oldest teaching of the millennial reign of Christ. And the good thing about it is it's based on a literal interpretation of this book right here, the literal interpretation of the Word of God. And so the Bible teaches that the second coming of Christ precedes the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second coming of Christ, most of you would know, is in two phases. First, he comes for his saints. He comes for all that are saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18 talks about that. The trumpet sound and all of that, the dead in Christ arise first. We which remain and alive will be caught up together with him and will be together with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort you one another with these words. So Christ, and that, by the way, can happen any moment. We call it the rapture of the church. And though that word's not used in the Bible, it's a Latin word that means a catching out, a calling out. It's like a big magnet pulling metal out of sawdust. And God's going to bring us up. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we're going to be translated just like that, and we'll both go up to meet the Lord in the air. And then after that seven-year period, you see, there's going to be a pseudo-peace, a false peace. We're getting closer to that. The world's has so many problems that we can't quite see it, but there's somebody out in the corridors waiting to stand up and say, I have the solution. You know who he is? Nobody really knows other than his name is Antichrist. And Antichrist could be alive today. Nobody knows what he is. He could be. We have all these problems. We are really running into problems with computers, credit cards. Somebody hacked my credit card the other day for over $3,000. Don't you feel sorry for me? Are you going to help me pay for that? No. They're going to pay for it. I'm not going to pay for it. They're going to be kind enough to pay for it. But you see that it's happening to all kinds of institutions. And one of these days they're going to say, well, we have the solution. Let's put a little deal right here in your hand and one right up here. And then when you go check out for groceries, just run your hand under the scanner. And by the way, I've already seen one of those little things about the size of rice, and it can be implanted real easily there. And some of it might be a tattoo. Tattoos are very popular these days. And it might be within that. So all of those different things, we're probably getting very, very close to that. Nobody knows exactly the time of the hour. But there are some things going on. And so we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Antichrist may be on the scene. There'll be a false peace, the world peace, and everybody will think everything will be worked out, and then Antichrist will go into the temple that will be over there in Jerusalem, and he'll demand to be worshipped, and all hell is going to break loose, and the Jews, they haven't seen any persecution like they're going to go through. Russia's going to be part of that. China's going to be part of that. All of the pieces of the puzzle are all in place, and these things are going to take place. But after the seven-year tribulation period, and after the elements are changed, and after all of the judgment of God, when we come back with Christ, then we'll go up with him. 7 years of tribulation, false peace, horrible, great tribulation. Then we'll come back, and he'll judge this earth, and he'll set up his 1,000-year rule and reign. And so here's the way it goes. You have the Old Testament time period, you have the church age, and then you have the rapture of the church out of the church age. You have 7 years of tribulation, and then you have the second coming of Christ, and then you have the 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ on earth, and then, thank God, we go into that heavenly state that we always refer to as heaven, the eternal state where we're going to be forever. That is for saved people. Now, what is life going to be like during the millennial kingdom? What's it going to be like? It's going to be here. It's going to be on this earth. It's going to be cleaned up. It's going to be judged, and God's going to work on that. But what's going to happen? Well, thank God there'll be no more war. There's not a human being in this building that likes war. War is a necessary evil to protect us from the evil. That's what our government is supposed to do, protect the citizens from evil. And so we don't like war, but we have to fight war sometimes for our protection. But one of these days, thank God, there'll be no more war. There will be everything that you and I would like to have today. There will be perfect joy. There will be perfect contentment. There will be perfect happiness. There will be purity in the kingdom. There will be peace everywhere. There will be prosperity everywhere during the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a place it's going to be. Listen to what Micah said in 4:3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Micah prophesied that day's coming. What a day that's going to be. Ezekiel talked about it in 34, 26, and 27. And I will make them in the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause a shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. We sing that old song. And that's true. Not only here, but in that time. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Thank God that day's coming. And sin will be kept into check. It isn't today. We're living in one of the most lawless times you could imagine. And now the criminal is favored over the law. And it's a sad thing that it's that way in our culture today. But sin is a thing that is not going to be allowed to be there. It will be kept in check. It'll be there, but it'll be kept in check. And the very moment somebody tries to get out of line in the millennial kingdom, they will deal with Jesus Christ immediately. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And anybody that tries to get out of hand during the millennial kingdom, it's not going to happen. He will deal with disobedience, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, what's the purpose of the millennial kingdom? Why the millennial kingdom? That's what it's going to be according to the Word of God. It's a very important time, but one of the reasons is to reward God's people, to reward the people of God. And I preached a message, I think, on Sunday night recently about the rewards. And a lot of people say, well, that's not good, and that we shouldn't expect rewards and all of that. There's only one problem with that philosophy, if you have it, and that is that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says run the race, work for the rewards, and there are crowns, and I preached on 5 different crowns that will be given to those in those different areas, and we will not go into those today because I recently preached it, but I'm telling you that God is going to reward the people of God. And there's scripture in the Old Testament that states that. There's scripture in the New Testament that states that we will receive rewards. Listen to Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Now that's for saved people, not unsaved people. Only the saved people are going to be rewarded in this way at that time. Now, part of our reward is going to be that we get to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. All believers, all saved people come back with him, and he'll set up his kingdom, and we get to rule and reign on planet Earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our place, our position, and what we do and what we get to do. Now listen, this is important because a lot of Christians do not sell out lock, stock, and barrel to God. They're on Halfway Boulevard. They've never gotten past that sign. They don't sell out totally to God. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, those who have paid the price, those who have been faithful serving him right now in this life, in your Christian experience, you're going to have those coveted positions in the kingdom of Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. You say, well, I thought everybody's going to be equal. No, everybody will be at peace. It'll all be great. But if you think you can name the name of Christ and be a lazy, backslidden Christian, who doesn't serve the Lord, who doesn't give your tithes and offerings to the Lord, who doesn't use your gifts and talents for the Lord, and all of those things, and that you're going to be rewarded equally with everybody else, you got another thought coming. It's not going to be that way. That's why everybody in this building ought to serve God, win souls, give, take some job, do something, help out, do something for the glory of God, be involved, be faithful, be dedicated to his house that he died for and set up. This is the church of the living God. And so we need to pay the price right now. And then secondly, because he wants to respond to the prophet's predictions. The prophets are always right in the Bible. The Bible prophets. There are false prophets out there today. But the Bible prophets are always right. And they predicted these times. Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets, 9:7 says this, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, thank God, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Amen to that. Luke chapter 1, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's over in Jerusalem. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So without the millennial kingdom, these prophecies could not be fulfilled. So it's for the rewards in the position of those who have been faithful. It is for the fulfillment of prophecy that God has given us. And then it's to receive an answer to the prayers that were prayed by the disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And then he gave us this Lord's Prayer, the model prayer for us. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's part of that prayer. And they started praying that, and we pray it, and sometimes we pray it together jointly, sometimes at a graveside, But part of that prayer is we're asking Jesus for his kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray that prayer. And so it's an answer to that. And then another reason is to reemphasize man's lost condition, man's sinful condition, man's depravity, we call it, and the necessity of Christ's birth. Man is depraved. Christ had to die and pay for man's sins. And so it emphasizes, reemphasizes the necessity of Christ's death. How's that? Well, during the tribulation, some people are going to live through that. And there will be husbands and wives. There will be 144,000 sealed Jews. There will be husbands and wives. And guess what? They will procreate and have babies during the millennium. And there will be children born in the millennium. But guess what? They will be depraved and sinful just like their mother and daddy. And so that's why Jesus has to rule with a rod of iron. Because those who come through the tribulation and those who are in this body and they haven't been given their glorified bodies yet, and then those that are born to them, and remember, that's 1,000 years. And there will be a lot of children born to them during that period of time, and they will have to answer to God. And those children will have the sin nature. And the fallen nature, as it is with all mankind, will not be eliminated until eternity as we know it begins. When eternity begins, then all of that will be taken care of, but here, the devil is going to have to be released for a little season. Why? Just like in the Garden of Eden, he will test those who have been living in a wonderful, righteous place on planet Earth, and they will have to make up their minds if they're going to follow the devil or if they're going to follow Jesus Christ. And he's going to stir up rebellion during that time, do everything that he can. And we know that because of what we read in Revelation chapter 20. Go back to it and look. I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Well, what's this angel going to do that has this great chain in his hand? And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. That means he's loose, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him that he would deceive the nations no more. Now notice the language, till or until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Well, God, why are you going to loose him a little season after he's been bound up 1,000 years? To try these people. And they have the same decision to make that all of you here today have to make. Some of you have already made it, some of you haven't made it. To trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, or to say no to him. To accept him as your Savior, or to say no to him. And then Satan something is going to happen to him after all of that. And by the way, all that demonstrates the need of each individual for a Savior. Friend, if you're here without Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. If you're trying to get to heaven by your works and by baptism and church membership and being kind to your neighbor and all that other stuff, you've missed the whole thing. You got to be saved by grace through Jesus Christ. Either that or he was a liar, and Jesus was not a liar. He never sinned. He always told the truth. He was truth embodied. And he said, I'm the only way to heaven, the only way. You cannot get there. I talk to people all the time that act like I'm a good person and I'm going to get there. I try hard and I'm going to try to do my best. Friend, that will not get you to one step toward heaven. You have to come to the place where you say, I'm absolutely bankrupt. I have nothing to claim to get me into heaven. Absolutely zero. And I bow myself and humble myself at the feet of Jesus, and I ask God for Christ's sake to come into my heart and save my soul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we call upon the name of the Lord, and then we're saved. Thank God that we do have a Savior. There is no righteousness apart from God. And then, very quickly, what happens when the millennial period closes? When that period closes, what happens? Well, we've already read about it. Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. But he talks more about it later on in these verses and tells us what's going to happen to him, and that will take place. This 1,000 years will be expired. Verse 8 says, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog, Magog, to gather themselves together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, verse 10, and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, going back to the tribulation, are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Finally, he's going to get his just dues. Satan, who is a fallen angel, and one-third of those who fail with him and the demons and all the rest, will be cast into the lake of fire, and there they will be tormented day and night forever and ever, and unsaved people will be with them. And then there's the great white throne judgment. That's different from the judgment seat of Christ. That's for the believers. But there's the great white throne judgment. And that is for those, all of those who have rejected Christ. This is the second resurrection. The first will be when all believers go up, but this is the second resurrection, and those people will be judged according to their works. And primarily they will be judged as to whether or not their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And friend, if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, I want to tell you, out of love and kindness, As meekly as I can tell you, you'll die and go to hell. You will be here with the devil and all of the demons and the worst that ever lived on this earth. You'll be there with them. They will be judged according to their works. Somebody like Hitler, I believe the fires will be a little hotter for him than somebody who lived a moral life in a religion that doesn't get them to heaven. And there will be degrees of punishment, but let me tell you something, it'll all be hell. It'll all be horrible. It'll all be terrible. The Bible says about those who are unsaved, it's in the Scripture, who mistreat widow ladies, that they will have, and listen to the language of the Bible, the greater condemnation. And that means that they will have a greater punishment, but all hell is hell, and anybody in hell would do anything they could to get out of it. There is no second chance to get out of it. There is no such thing as an intermediate state or purgatory or any of those things where you go for a while and somebody burns candles and prays for you and gets baptized for you by another religion or something, and finally you get out of there. That is so far into the Word of God, you'll never find it in that book. You have to be born again. Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Not to determine if they're saved or not, but because they're unsaved, they're here. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, get your name in the book of life today. Trust Christ as your Savior. Then, my dear friends, as Christians, keep in mind, there will be a judgment seat for us too. How much are you doing for God? How dedicated are you to His work? Are you judging sin, getting it out of your life so you can have a good testimony? Are you witnessing to people? Are you giving to God's work? Has God called you to surrender your life and you're not doing it? Get that right, whatever it is. We as believers know what God speaks to us about what we need to get right. We will, as believers, stand before Jesus Christ. And that will determine our position in the millennium. But if you don't have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I beg you today to settle that account. Come in this service, walk down the front. Someone will take a Bible and show you exactly what it says about how to be saved, that you're a sinner, you can't get to heaven, the wages of sin is death, Jesus paid for our sin, and if you'll ask him to save you, guess what? He will come into your heart and save your soul. Amen? Let's stand, please. Will you stand? And Father, bless an invitation and have your will. Help us as Christians to be reminded of that sobering day, and help us to want to work for rewards and to be dedicated, committed, to get sin out of our lives, to live our lives wholly for you. And help that dear person, those persons that are here who are not 100% for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. Help them today. May your Holy Spirit do the drawing. I'm just your mouthpiece. God, you do your work. In Jesus' name we pray.